Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcasts, Circle Craft Studies, Nature Folk, and others. In tonight's encore from September 2012, Selena was joined by special guests in a circle of remembrance and healing, followed by a sharing of experiences and viewpoints by some of the pagans impacted by the September 11, 2001 attacks on the USA.
This is Selena Fox, and tonight we have a special, Pagan Voices of 9/11. We begin with a circle of healing and remembrance. In the next few moments, call to mind the divine as you know the divine in your own tradition. Ask blessings on this show and on all those who are observing this day. Divine is one, divine is many. Divine, be with us, guide us, watch over us, aid us in our remembrance and healing of September 11th. We call into our circle of remembrance and support all the living who are healing, who are remembering, who are coming to terms with the world as it is now in this post-9/11 time. And in our circle, we take comfort in knowing that we are connected with each other, with the spirit of love, with the spirit of possibility, with the spirit of peace. Let us remember those who lost their lives in the attacks of September 11th, 2001. Let us remember those who died as a result of the attacks on September 11, 2001. Those who were injured, who died later, those who went to do rescue, relief, cleanup, that were killed when the towers crashed, that died of injuries as a result of being exposed to the toxins and debris of that time, and those who have died as a result of the war on terrorism, those who have died in wars following 9/11. We honor those who have died. and let us send healing. Healing to those impacted in different ways by September 11th, 2001. Those who survived the attacks. Those who escaped being killed by not having arrived at their destinations before the attacks happened. Those who have lost loved ones, friends, family, colleagues, neighbors in the attacks. Those who were harmed by the attacks and are continuing their healing process. Those who have lost loved ones in the wars, in the aftermath of 9/11. Those who covered the news then and continue to report on 9/11 remembrances. Those who are seeking to do healing, not only for themselves, but for others. We send healing to the living, to those seeking to preserve the memories, to those who are part of the healing process. Healing blessings to all who are in need, humans, the environment, and all beings. And blessings to all of you who are joining us tonight, listening live or listening later, those in the chat, those who may call in. We give thanks to each other, and may our connections aid the healing and remembrance process. So mote it be. In our show tonight, we are going to have an opportunity for pagans of many paths and places to share some remembrances, some memories of that day, September 11, 2001, memories of anniversary dates, memories of work done, rescue, recovery, cleanup, healing, support, memories of networking for a better world in the aftermath of 9/11. Why have a show to have pagan voices converge on this date? There are several reasons. One being that it's important, an important step in healing, to be able to tell stories and to tell stories in community. So it is for those who have stories to tell and share and for the greater whole. It also is important to collect perspectives, memories, experiences, and other documentation from this time to preserve that information for future generations who will look back on this time with better understanding. It's important to have pagans who were impacted by 9/11 be able to tell their stories. Indeed, there was national diversity amongst those who were killed and wounded and impacted by the attacks of September 11, 2001 in New York City and Pennsylvania and in Virginia. There was religious diversity and continues to be, and we have the Pagan Stories of 9/11 project, which began last year with the 10th anniversary, as a means of preserving in writing and now in this show, the Pagan Voices of 9/11, the stories of some of the pagans who were part of those events, whether they were actually at any of the sites where the attacks happened or had loved ones there or were affected through doing work in their own community, in their own family systems for healing in the aftermath. Indeed, 9/11 impacted many people in many ways. So tonight I invite you all to listen with support and respect of a variety of different voices and viewpoints. And may our sharing circle tonight be an opportunity to bring more connectivity amongst pagans and the greater world of which we are all part. One of the ways that pagan stories of 9/11 are being told is on Facebook. Last year, Terry of New Jersey and I put together Pagans Healing Remembering 9/11. And I want to welcome Terry to the show tonight, who's going to assist me in this oral history accounting. And I'd like to begin with Terry and inviting you to tell your own journey of healing and what kinds of things you've been doing to help others in their healing journey as well. For Terry once worked in the World Trade Center and lost friends and colleagues. Welcome, Terry.
Good evening, Selena. How are you?
Well, I am in a whole range of emotions, but I'm thankful that we are marking this day with a sharing circle on internet radio. Thank you for being part of this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for asking me to join you tonight. I'm with you. It's been a range of emotions all day, and some have been a little harder than others to get through, as always happens, but I'm one of the lucky ones. I've gone through these 11 years with a lot of pain and a lot of darkness, and a couple of years ago I was very, very blessed to have a healing, and my journey really has been, as you said, I worked in the World Trade Center. I worked in Tower 2 on the 91st floor. And I was one of those stories that we've all heard. I was late. I was late getting into work that day. But the day before, I had asked a number of coworkers who worked on a team with me to be in our lab early that morning. Normally, we would have been in our office about 9:30. So they got in about 7:30. And I had no idea what had happened that day because my train was late and got turned around, and I decided to come home, and I don't normally listen to the radio in the car or anything, and got home, and my husband pointed to the TV and sat me down, and that was when I found out what had been happening. That in of itself was, for my family, a blessing because I'm a trained EMT as well. And had I known what was taking place there and if that train had let me out, I would not have left, even if they wouldn't let me upstairs. I would have stayed to assist. So it was very difficult to watch, and especially when the commentary started explaining where the planes had hit, understanding that my floor was above where one of the planes hit, and there was no chance for anyone above the 77th floor to get out. All told, I lost 21 coworkers, 21 people I considered friends. And it's been a long journey. I would say the depths of despair I hit was guilt. That was the hardest thing for me because I felt I told them to be there, and they were. They were there to do their jobs, but they were there because I asked them to be there early, and I carried a lot of that guilt. And you were actually, when you and I met in Pennsylvania in 2010, was when I began my healing journey. There was the wonderful ritual that you did that day on that anniversary. And if you recall, you had called anyone up who had a personal connection, and I stepped up and you took my hand and you started asking for healing and strength, and I started to cry. And someone came up and laid their hands on my back. And before I knew it, I was surrounded with all of these beautiful pagans who understood how I felt and understood that I had no place for all those years to turn to for comfort or for assistance or to ask for healing. I had done my share. I had reached out to members of my community that I knew were not of the Christian faith when my local church in our town did a healing mass. And I reached out to some of them and said, if you'd like to come and we can just do a candlelight ceremony of remembrance. But I didn't take it any further for myself at the time. So meeting you and that ritual there began my actual healing journey. I've always tell people that they shouldn't measure their healing in time. I actually have come to forget what anniversary that was that you and I met. But I know that it was 9/11. It was the beginning of my healing journey, that was the right time and that was the right place. And Spirit spoke to me there and said that I had the support I needed at that time. And that's when it began. It's been a long journey. It's been a lot of self-reflection. And I think the healing for anyone has to start, especially after all this time has passed, has to start with themselves. Many people reach out and put out a hand and say, I need help, but they have to understand that they really do. They have to look inward first and find the courage to ask for help, and they don't. I know a lot of people I've spoken to over the last 3 years, I'd say, that have opened up to me and said 9/11 affected them in this way, or they lost a friend, or they lost someone, a coworker, or even a neighbor lost someone, and they felt, you know, the pain of their neighbor's pain and didn't know how to express it, didn't know how to heal from it, didn't know how to come back from it. And some people have said to me, I feel guilty that I didn't lose anybody, but I still am devastated on the anniversary, and that's a national collective feeling. And I think we need to recognize that a lot of pagans don't know where to go. I saw a lot of rituals and masses and ceremonies, and it seemed to be focused on maybe two or three different faiths, and I think a lot of pagans were lost, and I know I was until I met you. So I have to thank you, Selena, because you actually were the catalyst that began my healing journey.
Well, I'm very thankful that we were able to connect and be part of that. And by us doing some networking with additional people, I know that that circle of healing has been expanding. For myself, I had a precognitive dream that morning of the attacks. I did not have the clear vision it would be terrorist attacks, but I woke up with a foreboding. I was supposed to be finishing up an intensive academic article for an encyclopedia on paganism. And I had fully planned to spend the day finishing that writing responsibility. But coming up out of the dream state and having a sense that something wasn't as it should be with the world. I found myself shortly after getting up being drawn to turn on a television set and watch morning news. I turned it on, and moments after I turned it on, the coverage of the first tower being hit came on, and I knew then that something horrible was underway, and ended up spending my time that day not only watching television news coverage, but working to get through the phone lines to contact people both in Washington, D.C. area, where I have family, and New York City, where I have many friends, to find out how my family and friends were doing. And the day has many memories. And while I was in Wisconsin when this happened, my life has been forever changed as a result of it. And being called to do interreligious work, and certainly the next day after the attacks, I was part of an interfaith group that met at a Roman Catholic monastery. And I ended up facilitating the interfaith prayer service of all those that gathered that day, inviting each of the people who were present to share how it had impacted them personally as well as their faith community. And since that time, I've been involved with interreligious collaboration, not only on 9/11, but throughout the year, really seeing that the 9/11 tragedy can be turned into a positive experience to propel people to have more dialogue and contact and collaboration with each other across faith traditions. That said, I really do think it's very important for pagans to be able to care for their own, and that the pagan voices of 9/11 also have a forum in which to be heard and remembered.
I think that's very important, and I've been very, very grateful to the people who have posted on our Facebook page over the course of the year that we've had that up. I really read each one of their lines and try to feel, even though it's on the computer and you're reading printed word, these are people who are reaching out, have seen our page, and feel comfortable enough to tell us their stories and tell us how they feel. And I'm grateful for that. And I am thankful that they feel comfortable and that they know that there's no judgment there. Unfortunately, I feel that there are places where those of pagan past have turned for help and have felt that they have to hide who they are in order to get that help or to say how they feel about that day. I also see when they tell us their stories, I can almost feel their heart starting to heal because they found a place to open up. And I think that's very important. I think our page and the work you're doing is extremely important to bring to light that there are pagans who were affected. And it seems that, you know, we've been blamed for the tragedy as well. And you, of course, know about that firsthand, that we have been blamed for this. And I think that has caused a lot of pagans to retreat when it comes to talking about their feelings and their grief about this day.
That's right, and certainly one of the things that I did after Jerry Falwell made the remark that lumped all sorts of people, including pagans, we were actually first on the list, as responsible for this because God was turning away from America, etc., I managed to find a way to get my corrective feedback letter to him via his office. He got that delivered to him, my letter, taking him to task for his distinct lack of loving thy neighbor as thyself with his remarks and his dishonesty regarding his remarks. And so in my own way, I was part of the voices that rose up in the aftermath of 9/11 to stand up for pagans being part of the diversity and to set the record straight. We had nothing to do with the attacks. One of the things that has happened since 9/11, of course, has been the launching of the war on terrorism, Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan. And we have joining us tonight Roberta Stewart, whose husband, Sergeant Patrick Stewart, was the first Wiccan to be killed in action in that military operation. And I want to welcome Roberta to the show, and I believe she is on the line listening.
Yes, I am, and thank you for inviting me to the show, Selena. And it was a wonderful to hear you and Terry have your conversation and share her events of 9/11, which are totally different from mine, of course, but all my blessings to you, Terry.
Thank you, Robert. I appreciate it, and I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you. You know, today's also, you know, it's not, it's a little harder for me, I think, because Patrick died on the 25th of September, so I kind of have a coinciding anniversary date. But from, you know, the point of view of a widow who, he was actually out of the military at on 9/11, and then when he got back, he had no choice but to go back in for the love of his country and the freedoms that he enjoyed. And I've never really told a lot of people why he went back in, but he had lost a crew in Operation Desert Storm. And so he was, you know, a little more gung-ho to get back there and fight for our country, for the men and the families that he got to watch die. And so as 9/11 comes, I just, you know, it's just such a remembrance to me and an honoring, and as we did our prayer this morning for all the people at 9/11, it just reminded me how important our constitutional freedoms are. I'm not sure how much Selena is going to go into the story, but our constitutional rights are just extremely important, especially as pagans and Wiccans who are looked down upon or think that we don't deserve to have those same rights. I can't remember how many times somebody said it didn't matter because Patrick was going to hell because I was a pagan, or other comments of that sort that, due to my faith, we didn't have the right to be buried in a cemetery with Christians. And it was a very hard experience. As 9/11 comes about every year, it reminds me. Of course, Selena, like you, Terry, just helped me heal so very much. I was at a loss at what I was going to do and how I was going to proceed forward with this huge job after my husband died, and Selena appeared, and we did our magic, and I'm still healing, but without Selena and, you know, the healings and so many other people that I could mention, you know, along the way that allowed me to come to their home, speak at their events, and be part of the pagan community, it's such a wonderful thing. And today, you know, we remember the 9/11 and the families and the people that we lost that day and the fire workers and everything. And it began a serious history. You know, history, as Selena said, pagans will pass down verbally on what happened and how this happened and how it prevailed and how it affected the pagans. And I just want to thank you for being here and allowing me to share in remembrance of all of those who died in 9/11, and to also remember all of those who died after 9/11 in the war on terror and their family and their families. And as we still continue to, thought we were supposed to be pulling out, but to my knowledge, Patrick's unit was shipped again in January. So they had an identical deployment. It will be 7 years of September, 25th of Patrick's death. And a unit that has never been shipped been 20 years, was shipped in 2005 and 2012, and I just pray for those boys to come back safe, and I just give all my prayer, and I light a candle tonight for all of those who were affected by 9/11, which I think is the whole country, and ask that everybody else light a candle and see if that much energy and prayer put into one thing can bring healing to those people like Terry, the families of victims, people like me, Selena, and everybody who's been affected by this issue. And I just thank Selena and the Healings for having me on the show.
Well, thank you for calling in, Roberta, and healing blessings to you. May they continue. One of the traditions at Circle Cemetery has been to honor your late husband, Sergeant Patrick Stewart, at various special occasions, not only at the anniversary of his death and Memorial Day, but 9/11 is a day that we also remember him and honor him along with the other honorings we do. And this morning, as part of that, I placed some wildflowers on his gravestone and did an honoring as part of the observances over at Circle Sanctuary today. I want to thank you for being willing to share your story and also for your willingness in the midst of your grief to stand up for pagan rights and to be on the Pinnacle Quest, take your story forward. And I'm very thankful that the Pinnacle is now on the list of emblems of belief that can be included on grave markers for deceased veterans, whether they're killed in action in war or they die later after military service. It certainly has made a difference. And thank you so much for joining us tonight, Roberta.
Well, again, Selena, thank you for all that you've done for me for the healing. And, you know, again, thank you for you and all the pagans who helped through the quest so that we could achieve. It was definitely a group effort, as you know.
Yeah.
And so I just want to thank everybody who took the time out of their life to fight for what's right and stand up and allow Patrick to be honored and buried. So I thank you and everybody for all of that. Or we might be still fighting that fight if we wouldn't have had the support. So, and thank you so much, Lena. It means so much to me that you put flowers on his headstone. As I'm so far, I stick rocks on his memorial instead.
Yeah.
So as the different states separate us, the goal for peace of this world will always continue to connect us, and I look forward to continuing to work with Circle and all of the other pagans. And, of course, I always am willing to speak to widows, military widows, and assist them in any way that I can.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Selena, and thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Roberta. Many blessings to you.
And to you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye. And I want to share the name of Rob Stetina. Hermie Smith contacted me today and wants us to remember his friend, who is a Vietnam vet. He says, I lost a good friend as a result of 9/11. He died the following July from injuries he received. He was of the craft, and he also did work with Norse paganism. Rob was at the base of Building 2, that's Tower 2, when it collapsed, showered with debris. He was rushed to safety by a waiting cop in a car, and then he suffered a heart attack. He died in the hospital the following July after being taken there for some apparent diabetic shock episode and recovered only to suffer another fatal heart attack before being released. So there's an example of a pagan who wasn't in the towers, was actually outside, and while he didn't die on the day of, he died later. So we want to honor the memory of Rob. And I also want to honor the memory of Angelo Head, who worked in police dispatch work and in the days and weeks following 9/11, he was on what they called the pile. And he was one of a number of people that are part of the Pagan Spirit Gathering community connected with Circle Sanctuary that was there at Ground Zero doing cleanup. We know now, in fact, some reports have just been released, that those who were doing the cleanup were exposed to many toxins.
Yes.
And in fact, the latest report is even cancers are now going to be covered from those who were there doing that type of work. I heard from friends and his widow that his life was indeed shortened because of his exposure to the debris on that day. So we want to honor the memory of Angelo Head. And we also want to honor the memory of other pagans who died in the attacks or as a result of the attacks. And those of you who are listening live or listening later, we invite you to tell their stories and to share their names and a bit about their lives on our Pagans Healing Remembering 9/11 page on Facebook. I'd like to invite into our circle of healing and remembrance Reverend Dave Sassman. He is a Circle Sanctuary minister. He's active with our military ministries, and he also is executive director of Pagan Educational Network, PEN. Welcome, Dave.
Good evening. How's everybody?
Well, it's good to be able to be together and do this way of observing. When we talked earlier, you were on your way back from a 9/11 memorial.
Yes. Indianapolis has been able to acquire two of the beams that held up the towers. And last year they dedicated the 9/11 memorial park, which is right next to a fire station. And tonight they had a rededication and memorial for eight Hoosiers that were among the 3,000 that perished that day.
That must have been a moving experience.
It's very touching. It brought back memories of 9/11 11 years ago. I believe it was a designated Pagan Pride or Pagan Night Out sponsored by Pagan Pride. And there were a bunch of us that got together at a coffee shop. And it was almost a spontaneous idea that circulated around the room that we should go out and have a healing circle for the country and for the world. And Dagonet Drew was part of that community that night. And there must have been, 30, 35 of us. And it was just our community way of starting to heal, hopefully heal the world and the planet. And many of us were in shock because 9/11 was the touchstone for a different generation. My generation was the assassination of Kennedy. 9/11 is the touchstone event for the people that were born in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody can tell you where they were at 8:57 the morning of 9/11 when they heard the news.
Yes, it's one of those crossroads moments.
Yes.
It's even, you know, as you say that, Dave, I think about as adults, we can all, most of us can say where we were when we heard the news, when the radio broke in or the TV was turned on and the newscaster started telling us what was happening. But even the younger generations, my children who were in school at the time, can tell you what class they were in and what happened because many of the schools, especially here in the tri-state area, went on lockdown immediately. And you know, there were children there, like my eldest daughter, who were hysterical and in tears because they were being told that, you know, the World Trade Center had been attacked, and my daughter knew that I was on my way to work that morning. That was the last she had seen of me. So there's even the younger generation is still is very, very aware because they experienced the outlash of what was happening on that morning.
Yeah, and I do think it's good to document the coming together of people in the aftermath of 9/11. One of the positive things coming out of that was that people would go and be with others, whether they knew them or not, mm-hmm. on city streets, village streets, in various religious places and civic centers. There was gatherings of people connecting with each other with love and support, in addition to doing the interreligious circle the following morning. That evening, we opened up Circle Sanctuary, our land and our ritual sites for people to come, no matter what the religion. Mostly pagans came, but we were one of the many religious organizations that opened their doors for people that sought to do healing work with others, to pray for a better world, to tell stories and of what had happened, to comfort each other. And I do think that the sense of us all being part of a common humanity was a really powerful thing that came from that time. I do recognize that people are at different places with 9/11. Some, it's very much as it happened moments ago. Others, there's more distance from it. But regardless of where one's at in terms of the amount of impact in the past and the present, I think we all can agree that we can turn this tragedy into an opportunity for better communication and collaboration and joining our thoughts together and our actions to work for a better world.
Absolutely. I think I've actually spoken, Selena, to members of my local community and a number of them being Christian, and I find that when they find my connection to 9/11, it's a common denominator that they otherwise would have looked at me and said, oh, she's a pagan, and for some reason that throws up a wall that says she's completely different from us. But then they find that common denominator and a dialogue opens up and we find someplace in the middle where we can communicate and maybe help each other heal, even though we're of different faiths and different paths.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I think we'll also bring into the circle another Circle Sanctuary minister who does military ministries, Reverend Michelle Boshears, who is a major in the U.S. Army, retired, and who's the coordinator of our Pagan Chaplaincy program and our DFGL program. Welcome, Dawn Walker. Michelle.
Hi, Selena.
Hi, welcome.
Okay, I just didn't know if I was on or not.
Yeah.
I've been listening, and it was wonderful, Terry, to hear your story, and it was great to have Roberta on, and of course, I love Dave Sassman.
Thanks, Michelle.
So I, as I was listening, of course, I started putting myself where I was at on that day, and I was living in Indianapolis at the time, and was working at a university, and I was at work when the planes hit the towers. And my twins, who are now 30, were attending school that day, and my husband was on active duty, and he was stationed in Virginia. So we were separated, and him being on active duty away from us put us in a state of mind of immediate concern, because we knew military action was coming. We just knew that it was coming. And being a family, all of us that had lived through Desert Shield and Desert Storm, and I was on active duty at that time, we knew how much trauma was coming to the military and the military families. And since that day, as a military, as a pagan minister, my ministry has been with those military families who have been affected subsequent 9/11 with the actions that our government has taken in employing our military forces. And to this day, I'm still working with families who are separated because of deployments, returning service members who are suffering from PTSD. But what is interesting is last year on the 10th anniversary of 9/11, I was together with my group at Fort Gordon, and we had about 12 soldiers, and we were doing a 9/11 remembrance, similar to what we're doing here, a healing circle, and I asked them all to, talk about their experience. And as Terry said earlier, even young people remember what classroom they were in.
Mm-hmm.
And the group of people that I work with predominantly at Fort Gordon are young people. And most of them were 9 and 10 years old at the time of 9/11. And their choice to come into the military, surprising to me, had nothing to do with the attacks on our country. Even though they knew that they would be deploying to fight the war on terror, I found it very interesting that the young people aren't joining, as Patrick Stewart did, for example, because of this. So, but I'm still working with them on almost a daily basis. Military families who are impacted by this.
Yeah, and I do think it's important on 9/11, with so much emphasis, as it should be, on those families, friends, communities that lost loved ones in the attacks themselves, that
absolutely.
I do think it's really important, too, to look at those who have been impacted by 9/11 that are serving and who have served in the U.S. military and in other capacities. I know from my own background in psychology, and especially looking at impact of media viewing upon the psyche, that a number of people, pretty widespread, who watched the attacks happen on television, saw the plane go into the second tower, and having that and some of the other horrific images play over and over, there are people who are trying to be informed, but got exposed to these really intense images. And I do think that being able to talk about it on anniversary dates can be a very powerful way of releasing trauma and concern and letting some different ideas and concepts emerge as we focus on the date. And I see from the clock that our hour is moving along quickly. And in a few moments, I'm going to invite the Ewings to share with us some of what's been shared in the chat room. But we do have time to take one or two calls, 347-308-8222. If you want to call in, you're listening live, and want to call in and join us, that's 347-308-8222. And I invite David and Jeanette into our circle of remembrance and healing tonight, wondering what kinds of comments and ideas are being shared in our chat tonight.
Hello.
Hello, David.
Hello, David.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Jeanette.
Hi, Jeanette.
Hi. I think everyone has just been kind of listening to the stories and appreciating what people have gone through.
Right. You're just kind of reflecting on what's been shared so far this evening.
Right, right. I know that watching, looking at Facebook today, using that as a gauge or a compass, actually I've seen more on Facebook than I've seen in the general media as far as there being much in the way of remembrance that has gone on, which I've found to be interesting. Now, it just so happens that, you know, the people that we happen to know, we do know a number of people that were affected in one way or another. So, but just something that I just happened to notice that, there were a number of people that we know that are pagan military that happened to post things remembrance-wise that I didn't happen to see other places. So I do think that those who either are in the military or have been in the military have more of an immediate appreciation
for what went on and what happened. Because
Well, and I think that here we are 11 years after the attacks, the social networking world is much more expanded now. When we think back then, that was before Facebook and Twitter and some of the other forms of social communication were widespread as they are now and hadn't even been born then. And now we have ways of people being able to share with each other. And part of the reason Terry and I decided to have a page on Facebook was to make it easy for people to be able to share photographs and links and blog posts and other material with others, and to have a place where those really looking to see what other pagans were experiencing and thinking about could go, to have a central place where it'd be easily posted. And one of the things that I did today, in addition to doing a ceremony in our stone circle and also at Circle Cemetery, and that one specifically remembering Sergeant Patrick Stewart, I spent some time during the day looking over material that we've already received as part of our Pagan Stories of 9/11, poetry accounts of that day, as well as went out on the web through Google News and Google searches to see what material already existed. What I would like to do as we prepare to bring closure to this evening is to end our show with a poem that was shared last year with us, one of the first things we got as part of the pagan stories of 9/11.
Selena, if I can interrupt you for one second so that you can read that and end the show. As you're speaking, I just had a thought that on our page, I want to make sure that people understand that while we're asking for remembrances and we love what the postings have been, if there's any pagans out there also that need assistance, if they need a spiritual guidance or some help in dealing with memories or pain over 9/11, to certainly reach out to us on that page. We have such a large network that I'm sure we have people that can reach out to them and assist, and you and I are both available.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and I'm wondering, before I move into this final part, we're going to have, I'm going to do a reading of one, and then we're going to follow that with taps, as has been played at a number of services today, including the one that aired live on television this morning at the White House. I'm wondering if there are any other comments in the chat or if anybody has happened to call in. Anyone else want to do any sharings before we move into our final part tonight?
Well, there was a young lady here who shared a story about how her they had a family fight, and it was with their boyfriend, and it was really tough for her and her family. And she had just had her daughter, I guess it was right after 9/11. It sounds like it was a really tough time for her, too.
Well, and that's one of the things, when there has been a major tragedy that has huge impacts on a whole people, a whole nation, a whole world, that stresses individuals, families, mm-hmm. communities, and can make the stuff of daily life harder. But the opposite piece is also true, that at times of greatest tragedy and greatest need, I have seen the best in people rise, and for people overcoming differences and connecting. And what I'm hoping that we can do on this 11th anniversary of 9/11 is each carry with us the memories of the stories that we've shared tonight and the perspectives into our lives to aid our process in creating more connection amongst pagans as a people, and to have pagans have equal rights and freedom within the larger society of which we're part, to have greater understanding. And may the legacy of these anniversary celebrations be one of healing and of peace, and to create the vision that we all can be together, because ultimately we all are part of a much larger whole. I want to thank David and Jeanette for helping us with the show this week and every week. I want to thank Terry. I want to thank Dave and Michelle and Roberta for all being part of the show tonight. I want to thank everybody in the chat and everyone who's listening live and who will be listening later when this is podcast. I want to thank Pagans Tonight Radio Network, Ed and Tracy, and everyone for your support of this special program by getting the word out and for all the work that you're doing for Pagan Radio. This poem is called One. It's written by Victoria, who now is living in Florida, who was working in the World Trade Center on September 11, 2001. She was among those who escaped. One, as the soot and dirt and ash rained down, we became one color. As we carried each other down the stairs of the burning building, we became one class. As we lit candles of waiting and hope, we became one generation. As the firefighters and police officers fought their way into the inferno, we became one gender. As we fell to our knees in prayer for strength, we became one faith. As we whispered or shouted words of encouragement, we spoke one language. As we gave our blood in lines a mile long, we became one body. As we mourned together the great loss, we became one family. As we cried tears of grief and loss, we became one soul. As we retell with pride of the sacrifice of heroes, we become one people. We are one color, one class, one generation, one gender, one faith, one language, one body, one family, one soul, one people. We are the power of one. We are united. We are America.
And I am the waters of the world's river.
joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.